This evening, if you have your Bibles, we want to continue our study through the book of Romans. And this evening, we're coming to Romans chapter 6. The Apostle Paul is sharing with the Christians in Rome. The situation in the world that they were living in is not unlike the world we live in today. It was totally pagan in nature. Christians were already being persecuted at the time that Paul was bringing his ministry, because we know that Paul was in prison twice after he wrote this letter. We know that Paul stood for his faith and stood for the truth and would not be silenced, even though he was threatened quite often. In this letter, he lays out more doctrine in the book of Romans than any of his other epistles. And as we studied and began this journey through the book of Romans, we saw in chapter 1, he laid out the great dilemma that man has because of his sin and where sin leads us. In our nation today, we're seeing the real consequences of sin being worked out all around us. Prophecy foretold that these events would occur. Jesus said that these things would be intensifying before he would come. And we see it happening. I spoke to my cousin today, and I also spoke to my brother-in-law, and I said, you know, as we're growing up, I never thought I'd see this happen in my life, what I'm seeing happening, not only in the United States, but around the world. And so how do we face it? And the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to Christians that we might know how to face it and where our hope lay. We looked at chapter 5, and in chapter 5, we left with the concept of that sin is in the world and it reigns, and that where sin abounds, God's grace is greater still. That was the theme that Paul was laying out, and he wants us to understand that as we look at all the wickedness and sin around us, and even the sin that where Satan would tempt us, and sometimes we yield to that temptation, that there's still hope and victory. God's grace and power are greater than the wickedness and sin and rebellion against him. And now he comes to chapter 6, and he begins to talk to us about our specific position in Christ and what that means. We now have been told that God's grace abounds more than the sin in this world. And this evening I want to take a look at chapter 6, verses 1 through 14, if we could. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he is that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died, he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Let's just bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you this evening, Lord, I pray that you just speak to us through your word. Lord, help us to understand our position in Christ. Help us to understand the victory that has been won for us through Jesus Christ. Help us to understand the power of your Spirit that has been given to us because of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you would help us to realize that we do not have to yield to sin, but we can stand in your power by the power of the new life that has been given to us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you would just speak to our hearts and help us not to be filled with fear, but to be filled with hope and to show forth power and a desire to serve you and to be used by you in the midst of trial and tribulation because of your grace that has been shown to us. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle Paul, as I mentioned at the beginning of the message, wants us to understand our position in Christ. And so he begins by showing us what has happened in our life. One of the things that we believe as Baptists is that we believe in baptism, believers' baptism by immersion, because I don't know what happens in your heart unless you tell me. And one of the things that God commanded us to do was to be baptized. And the reason that I see that the scriptures tell us is laid out partially in the passage that we're looking at this evening. He wants us to make a statement to the world of our position in Jesus Christ. If you're a believer in Jesus, you need to understand what's happened. And Paul tells us in the opening portion of this chapter, he says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin?" Remember, we said that sin was made more evident because a law was brought and the law revealed sin. And when the law came, it showed even greater sin that we committed because it showed us all the things that we were doing wrong and how we were violating God's character and rebelling against His word and His authority. But then he also said, as we mentioned, that where sin was made more evident and where it abounded in greater degree, God's grace was revealed even greater to overcome that sin. And he's saying here then, well, then the attitude of some people may be, well, God's grace is there, so that means I must go out and sin and then I can experience His greater grace. Paul is emphatic. God forbid. Absolutely not. And he's going to show us why. Sin should not be a desire of the heart of the believer of Jesus Christ. When we look around us at the world and what's happening today, we see sin everywhere, rebellion against God. We talked about places, states in our country where our Constitution gives us the right to assemble and the right to our worship and the right to free speech and all of these rights. And yet in some states, churches have been told you're going to be thrown in jail if you assemble and if you meet together to worship the Lord. And yet God tells us in His Word that's what we're supposed to do. And we see that sin is all around us, where people are acting against God's Word, against what God has commanded, against His authority. And not only in that area, in all kinds of other areas. And we see that, as I mentioned, Jesus said that these things would happen in the last days. So what does Paul tell us that we should do then? He says, "How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" In other words, the temptation might be to, well, let's just go along with the world. And let's go along with whatever the world would tell us to do, even though it's violating God's word. Do you realize that there are people in countries today where they could continue to live in their homes, they could continue to have their jobs, they could continue to have their life if they just denied Jesus? There's Muslim countries where there have been Muslim terrorists that have come into Christian homes, and they've taken family members and said, "We will kill them unless you deny Jesus and bow the knee to Muhammad." What would you do if that was you? There have been Christians around the world that said, "I will not bow the knee. I will bow the knee only to Jesus, and I will not denounce him." Some of them have paid with their life. Some of them have paid with losing their jobs, losing their homes, losing their possessions. Paul is telling us we need to understand our position in Christ and what we're to do. And we're not to yield to sin. Why? Because we're dead to sin. We're dead to our rebellious spirit. That died when we took it to the cross. And it died at the cross with Christ. And he's telling us that it's as if we placed our sin at the cross of Jesus, our rebellious spirits there, and God gave us a new, made us a new creature and transformed our character. Why would we want to go back to that life? A number of years ago, we were meeting in downtown Fargo and we met a man, and he had had a tremendous job as a airline mechanic. At that time, there was an airline that was called Republic, and it flew up here, and he had been an airline mechanic for Republic Airlines, and airline mechanics make very good salaries. He had married a woman who was a believer, and she probably should not have married that man according to Scripture, because he was not a believer. He showed me a picture of his daughter. He had a beautiful daughter. She was attending Moody Bible Institute. She was a Christian. But her dad had gone back to drinking and on the street and being with his old buddies. And it was interesting because this man, our church at that time was meeting on in a storefront, a mission front, on one of the streets, which was in the poorer part of town next to the worst bar in town and across from the bus depot. And it was amazing, this guy, every Sunday, he would drag a whole bunch of the street people into church. And he'd sit them in the back of the church and he'd say, "Listen to him preach." But I talked to him one time and I said, "But what about you? You bring in all your friends and you say, 'Listen to him preach,' but what about you?" And he said, "Well, you don't understand. When I was in Vietnam, I did some awful things. God could never forgive me." And I tried to share with him, the only thing that God will never forgive is when you reject the free gift of salvation that is found in Jesus Christ, because there is no forgiveness if you don't receive Christ. And I said, "I don't care how bad the thing was that you did when you were in the war in Vietnam. I don't care what it was, and I don't need to know what it was. All I can tell you is God will forgive you." But he enjoyed his sin more than he desired the forgiveness of God. And it was sad. And so he continued in his sin. He continued to drink. He continued to hang out with his so-called friends that drew him deeper and deeper into sin. Paul is telling us that should not be the life of a believer. Why? Because you have been set free from that. You were once dead in sin. He was literally dead. One day he's going to stand before the Lord, and unless he heard what I shared with him and gave his heart to Christ and accepted the gift of salvation and the forgiveness that is found in Jesus, he will one day stand before the Lord and hear the words, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." And you shall experience eternal damnation and death. There are real consequences to real decisions. And we're called to make these decisions in our life. And if you've decided for Jesus Christ, that means you should not desire to go back into the sin of the world and the sin that we're involved with. And that's what Paul's saying here. You're no longer to live therein. "Know ye not that so many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?" Now, what is he speaking about there? Now, what does the word baptized mean? Baptized means placed into. That's what it means. Placed into or placed under. But in this context, I really believe it means placed into. You were placed into Christ. You who were apart from Christ are now placed into Christ. You are part of his body. You are part of his fellowship. You are part of his bride. These are terms that are used in Scripture about those who are Christians. You're no longer out there in the world, but now you are come under the authority of Jesus because you have been placed into him. And that's what it means here, that we've been baptized or placed into Christ if we become a Christ and we become a Christian. And it says here that what happened is that we experienced death and identified with his death at Calvary. And it says, as we were baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into his death. We were placed into his death. Now, what does that mean? Well, as those who were rebels against God, the penalty for sin and rebellion is what? Death. Jesus went to the cross and died and took our sins and the sins of the whole world upon him at Calvary. Where were your sins then with Jesus when he died? He paid the penalty for your sin. If you become a Christian and accepted the gift of salvation, your sin was placed on Christ at Calvary. Your sin was paid for by, the penalty was paid for by him at Calvary. You're identified with his death, and that your sin died then. It no longer has the authority it once had over you, because now you are Christ's. You are not under the authority of Satan. You're not under the authority of sin. You're not under the authority of your flesh. You're under the authority of Jesus Christ. Because your sin died when it was placed at the cross with Jesus and identified with his death. That's what Paul is saying. What else does he say? He tells us the amazing thing of what our position is. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. As we've been placed with him at Calvary, as our sins have been placed with him in Calvary, we are buried with him in death, in the sense that our sins, we died spiritually. We all died spiritually when we rebelled against God. When we identified with Christ, our sins were placed with Jesus. When he was buried and he had died, our sin died with him and was buried with him. And that identification of our old nature was buried. It's dead. A pastor once said to me, or preached a message once, and he said, how does a dead person respond? And he said, if we had a funeral here today and we had a body up in front of the funeral and an open casket, would that person be able to talk to you? Would that person be able, you could go up there and you could take a needle and punch it into his arm, and would he jump? Would he respond? Could you take something that he'd always wanted and bring it and place it right before him? And would he say, great, I finally got it? No, he couldn't respond at all. He's dead. That is what you are to be to your old nature at the cross of Calvary. Dead. You shouldn't respond to the things of this world the way that you once did in rebellion against God, because you have died with Jesus Christ. You are dead to the things of this world, to the world, the flesh, and the devil. And that's what it means. And we identify with his death. We've been buried with him. But then the amazing thing, he says, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. What does that mean? You and I are new creatures in Christ. And so consequently, we are not the people we used to be. And that's how come you see the world differently. I talked to someone that I knew today, and they cannot see the world as I see it. I look around and I see things that are scary. but I'm not fearful. I see things that are disturbing, but I'm not despondent. This person I'm talking to was scared. They're despondent. Why? Because they see all the wickedness, they see all the sin, and they see no hope and no answer and no purpose, and they don't know what it's causing it and what's happening. I look and I see the Bible tells me exactly what's causing it. It's the wickedness and rebellion of men. It's the sin of men. And if I'm going to identify with that, I'll come under that sin and I'll do exactly what all that Satan would lay out for me to do. But when I come as a Christian, I'm a new creature in Christ. I see things differently. I understand things differently. Number one, we shouldn't be fearful of all the things that we're seeing around us. Number two, we shouldn't be filled with despondency and despair. Number three, we shouldn't be filled with confusion. Because the Word of God reveals to us what's going to happen, the beginning from the end. It talks about how that Satan's battled always against God, desiring to control all of God's creation, to usurp and take God's position. It shouldn't surprise us that he's trying to overtake the world. And the Bible tells us in the last days, he would think that he's got the battle won. But that's when the victory is going to be Jesus and revealed to all, both believer and unbeliever, as Christ returns in his glory. Well, he goes on and he says here that we're raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. You and I should walk in the newness of life, have a new character, a new spirit, a new desire, a new heart, a new vision, a new understanding. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. And Paul is speaking more than just the newness of our life in this world, but he's also speaking of the fact that one day there's going to, just as Jesus resurrected from the dead and had a glorified body, and when he walked amongst the disciples, he walked in his glorified body, but there's coming a day where you're going to see him in all of his glory when he's in heaven, and the picture is given in the book of Revelation, what he's going to appear as there, and it's amazing what he appears like. And we have a little picture when we went through the book of Matthew on Sunday mornings, and we got to the Mount of Transfiguration. You remember when Jesus met with Elijah and Moses on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they came up there, and it says he was shining in all of his glory. And there was a transformation that had occurred as he appeared in his glory, like he had emptied himself of that glory when he walked with his disciples. But at that moment, John and James and Peter looked on Christ and looked on Moses and looked on Elijah, and they saw them in their glorified bodies. And it was glory that was revealed. And the thing is, that's what we're going to experience in the resurrection. And he says, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, even so we also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. So your old nature has been crucified with Jesus Christ. That means it's been put to death. It was taken to the cross and put to death. And it says that the body of sin might be destroyed. What does that mean? That it should no longer control you. You have the victory over sin because it has been put to death in your life. Now, can we cause it to resurrect? Paul's going to deal with that in just a second. But the thing is, we need to understand our position in Christ. And then also he goes on that henceforth, we should not serve sin. In other words, as a Christian, we shouldn't bow down to this world. We shouldn't bow down to Satan. We shouldn't bow down to our flesh. Rather, we're serving God, our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Savior. And he says, then he goes on and he says, for he that is dead is freed from sin. In other words, because you have been brought into a newness of life, you are now free in Christ. There's been a transformation that's occurred. You're no longer in a slave to sin, but rather you're a servant of God. Would you rather be a slave to sin or a servant of God? And that's what Paul is laying out for us. And he says, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Now, does that mean just in heaven? Does that mean just after the rapture? Does that mean just when he comes and establishes his kingdom on earth and we come back with him? Is that what it means? No, it means we live with him and it begins now. Our life with Christ begins now. You see, if God wanted us to only experience our life with him in heaven, the minute you got saved, he'd take you to heaven. None of us would be left here on earth. But he leaves us here for a specific purpose. Part of that is that we can grow in our understanding and our love of him, that we can grow be conformed to him, and that we can see the power of his might working through us and in us and around us in this world. And we need to move on quickly and try and finish here in just a second. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. Jesus had total victory over death. And death doesn't have dominion over him. And so consequently, death does not have dominion over us. Should a Christian be afraid of death? The answer is no. Because it doesn't have any dominion over you. That's why Paul could make the statement, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And he said, I'm betwixt. He was in a difficult position. Because on the one hand, he wanted to stay, that he could minister and help those that God had enabled him to come to know Jesus. And he could minister to them and disciple them and help them to grow in their understanding of God. And he wanted to be able to see more people saved. And so he had this desire to do that, but he had a greater desire to go and be with the Lord and to experience all the glory and greatness that is there when we come face to face with Jesus. And so he was torn, and he didn't know, do I stay, and do I desire to stay, or do I desire to go? But he said, it doesn't matter, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So I'm not fearful. If I stay here, I'd be used by God. But if I go, that is what my heart longs for, is to see him and be with him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise. He says that's what Christ did. He says, likewise. Reckon. Reckon, the word reckon means think about, think on, meditate on, think about what it means. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that is what your position is right now. You're dead to sin and alive to God. You realize you can call on the name of the Lord any time, any moment of the day if you're a Christian, and he will hear you. Paul, as a matter of fact, tells us that we're to pray unceasingly. Every moment of the day, our attitude should be that I'm communicating with God. When I have a difficult situation, I should be communicating with God. I don't have to get down on my knees, close my eyes, fold my hands in order to pray. I can pray while I'm in the conversation with somebody. I can still be saying, Lord, help me to have the right words to say. Help me to have the right attitude. Help me to do the right things, that I don't rebel and sin against you. Unfortunately, sometimes I haven't done that. And I've said the wrong things. I've done the wrong things. I've had the wrong thoughts. And know why I do that? Because at that moment in time, instead of praying, instead of understanding the newness of life and the position, and I don't have to yield to sin, I give myself over and I sin. But God says that's not to be our position, and we're to understand what our position is, this newness in life with Christ. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it and the lust thereof. We shouldn't obey sin, but rather we're to be in obedience to God. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Instruments are things that are played and used, the things that are used by someone. When you play in a band, you have an instrument. What's the instrument there for? For you to use to make music. What is the instrument of your body, the instrument of your mind, the instrument of your mouth, the instrument of your hands? Those are things that you will be using throughout your life. You will use your mind, you will use your mouth, you will use your body to do one of two things, either bring glory to God or to sin against him. Those are the two options you have to do with that. And he's saying, your instruments should not be yielded to sin. They shouldn't be given to Satan to play with, but rather they should be instruments that are controlled by God. He says, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So your mouth, your mind, your body should be yielded as righteous instruments to God to be used by Him, that He can bring glory to Him. Now, how does that stand in the face of all that we're doing around us right now? Well, we should not be sinning. And sin is, as for a Christian, sin is doubting God. Sin is having fear that God isn't big enough to control. And as we look at all the events around us, that somehow I just need to yield to what the world wants me to do and I'll fit in and then I won't have problems. No, I'm to yield to God's, my instruments to God, that they may bring glory to Him. And then finally, closing in the last couple of verses, he says, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those who are alive from the dead, and for your instruments as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. And that's what Paul's going back to the statements that we studied last week. The law reveals sin in our lives, but we're no longer under the law. We're under God's grace, and with God's grace, our sin has been forgiven, and no longer does sin control us that it has to be constantly revealed, but rather now we see the newness of in our hearts and lives, and we should see the power of God's Spirit working through us, and His grace is revealed in our lives, and we can be an example to others of hope and salvation that is found in Jesus Christ. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that You would just help us to understand our position in Christ. Help us to understand that we are not to be those who are overwhelmed by the wickedness of this world, yielding the instruments of our bodies to sin and rebellion, but rather we are to yield ourselves to You because we have been set free by Your grace and forgiven by the depths of Your love. Lord, help us to walk in Your power. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn